praying for Brother Titus, looking forward to hearing the Word of God preached, and been praying about what to preach. And I knew that I would be kicking off the services, and so trying to discern and determine which way the Lord would have me go. And I couldn't help but be driven to the very fundamentals, the very basics. So this evening I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 3. And I would like for us to read one passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter number 3. I appreciate your prayers tonight for the services and for the preaching of the Word of God and for the preacher to step out of the way and for folks to see the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up high and mighty. And so in Galatians chapter number 3, I want to point you to one particular passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 8. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 8, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Tonight I would like to focus on the gospel, and in particular in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 8, I would like for us this evening to look at Abraham's gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask You tonight to meet with us. Lord, help us this evening. We are such needy creatures. Lord, thank You that You brought us in time to see our depraved, sinful condition. And Lord, You relieve that burden that we felt and knew was there through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight as we look into Your Word and we begin this series of messages over the next few days, I pray that You'd be with our dear brother, Brother Titus, as he preaches the Word. Prepare him. Help him to have the words that You want him to speak. Lord, I pray that You'd help me tonight to deliver Your Word and to, Lord, not be guilty of twisting Scripture or causing confusion to come upon the minds and hearts of Your people, but the Word would go forth clearly, that the gospel would be preached, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up. Lord, the gospel that we preach today is the same gospel that Abraham knew of. Lord, help us to glorify, honor You. We thank You for this church. We thank You for her pastor. We thank You for their stand for truth and the friends that they've been through the years. Lord, we rejoice in that. We give You all honor, glory, and praise for that. Meet with us. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Abraham's gospel. It is a life and death matter to properly identify the gospel. God used Paul mightily in the establishment of New Testament churches. And of course, we understand, I trust, a little bit about the book of Galatians, that God used the Apostle Paul to establish multiple churches in the region of Galatia. And as Paul ministered and established these churches by the grace of God, he soon left, and not long after he left, Judaizers arrived and began to teach that believers there in the churches of the region of Galatia had not heard the true gospel. They hadn't heard the whole gospel. The churches of Galatia, remember, were composed mainly of Gentiles. So these false teachers infiltrated and began to teach the people that they weren't saved unless they had faith in Christ and participated in Jewish ceremonies. In essence, they needed to become a Jew in order to have the full gospel and be saved by the grace of God. Well, Paul writes the book of Galatians by the leadership of the Spirit of God to expose this false teaching and to emphasize that salvation is through Christ alone, plus and minus nothing. It isn't faith plus law. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in so doing, the Apostle Paul points out a vital truth. The gospel is eternal. It has never changed. He does this by referencing the gospel that was preached to Abraham. Abraham's gospel. In Galatians 3 and verse number 8, our text passage, the Bible clearly declares, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." It is utter idiocy to try to declare that the Old Testament saints were saved some different way. They heard the same gospel that you and I heard, and by the effectual working of God and the power of the Spirit of God, we were born again. It is Abraham's gospel. And so as we think about Abraham's gospel as God's people, we ought to ensure that we have heard the true gospel. That we have heard Abraham's gospel. Now, in investigating Abraham's gospel tonight, I want us to note five marks that identify Abraham's gospel. We will work through these quickly this evening. Nevertheless, we want to cover each of these marks, and they're all revealed in verse number 8. The first mark we find is, it is the gospel of the Scriptures. The second mark is that it is the gospel of salvation. The third mark, and you'll be happy for this, it is the gospel for the sinner. The fourth mark, it is the gospel that is steadfast, it doesn't change. And then finally, this fifth mark, it is the gospel of the Savior. Notice the first mark revealed in verse number 8. It is the gospel of the Scriptures. Notice verse number 8. The Bible clearly declares, and the Scripture. Do we understand tonight that the true gospel is contained in the Holy Scriptures alone? I have a problem with preachers that try to tear down the faith of God's people in the Word of God. And we always have to try to come up with some new translation or some new way to say what God already said perfectly. We don't need a new translation. We've got what God wanted us to have. And tonight, if we look to the Holy Scriptures, we will see Abraham's gospel, the true gospel. Now, when we're not looking to the Scriptures, we can fall prey to imitation gospels. But did not the Apostle Paul write to Timothy and say that the Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation? And he did so because within the confines of the Holy Scriptures we find the true gospel, the gospel of Abraham. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote about imitation gospels. In Galatians chapter number 1, verses 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul gave a warning and he's marveling at what had taken place in these churches since he had left. Notice the imitation gospels that were prevalent in the churches there in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." You understand that another gospel is an imitation gospel. You understand that the devil has a false gospel. He's got a false church. He's got false ministers. He's got a false spirit. But if we stick to the Holy Scriptures, we won't fall prey to an imitation gospel. Notice the Apostle Paul writes and he says, he marvels that they've been so soon removed unto another gospel. Verse 7, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you." That word trouble means to stir up and agitate and would pervert the gospel of Christ. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Beloved, the Bible declares tonight that there aren't many gospels. There aren't many roads to the Heavenly Father. There isn't the Methodist way and the Presbyterian way and the Muslim way and the Buddhist way. There's one way, and that's God's way, and it's through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the true person of the gospel. The Apostle Paul wrote in another place in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." And so tonight, we find that the Apostle Paul, combating these Judaizers, he focuses on the true gospel. And he points out that this is the gospel that Abraham had preached unto him. He warns that there are imitation gospels. But if we're sticking to the Holy Scriptures, we won't fall prey to the imitation gospels. Rather, we will be rightly and properly able to identify the true gospel. You know, the Greek word for gospel is, in some places, euangelion, in some places it's euangelizo, and it means good message or glad tidings. Now, there are many things that are good messages and glad tidings, aren't there? So that doesn't really narrow it down enough. Lots of things can be good messages. Lots of things can be glad tidings. But what is the Apostle Paul talking about when he mentions Abraham's gospel? Well, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I know that you know these passages well, and it's likely that we're not going to do any new treading tonight, but we do want to speak on the old gospel, the old message that you and I believed by which we were saved. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Notice the identification of the true gospel. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Here it is. "How that Christ died for our sins." So, Christ dying for our sins is a portion of the gospel. But notice, it's how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We're talking tonight about this first mark of Abraham's gospel. It is the gospel of the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul says how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, what Scriptures is Paul talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. They didn't have the New Testament at that time. And beloved, you and I tonight can go back to the Old Testament, and we can see the Lord Jesus Christ as clearly presented in the Old Testament as He is in the New Testament. Abraham heard Christ's gospel. He had the gospel preached unto him. The first mark of Abraham's gospel is it is the gospel of the Scriptures. But notice, secondly, this second mark. It is the gospel of salvation. Notice in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 8, our text passage, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith." Beloved, this is not only the gospel of the Scriptures. This is the gospel of salvation. Now, justification is a legal term. It is a legal term that delineates how that God rightly declares someone just. God is the only one that can justify the sinner. A lot of times we try to justify ourselves, but we're declared just in God's sight by God Himself. This is the gospel of salvation. Only those who are saved are described as justified. We could go back, we don't have time to do this tonight, but we could go back and look at the logical progression in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 30, "Whom He did predestinate, then He called." That's the effectual call. There's a general call, And then there's an effectual call, or the inward call of the Spirit of God. And those whom He called, He justified. And so here we find the Apostle Paul writing about this justification here in verse number 8. And he prefaces what he's saying here by alluding to the Scriptures and pointing out the fact that this is Abraham's gospel. It's the gospel of the Scriptures. It is the gospel of salvation. Do we understand tonight that the gospel is essential to salvation? How deceitfully we do the work of God when we try to convince somebody to quickly say some formulaic prayer. And if you just say this formulaic prayer, then you'll be saved. And don't ever let anybody tell you that you're not saved because you said the sinner's prayer. What we ought to do, beloved, is preach the gospel. What we ought to do is point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. What we ought to do is preach the gospel that Abraham had preached unto him. It is essential to salvation. No one has ever been saved without hearing the gospel. Now, you may have read the gospel in a tract. You might have read the Scriptures. Excuse me. You might have been present when the gospel went forth, when someone was preaching the gospel. Somebody may have witnessed to you, but somebody spoke to you Abraham's gospel. Somebody told you about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is absolutely essential to salvation. Excuse me. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul spoke about how essential to salvation the gospel is. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul wrote, "But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." So, is election salvation? It is not. It is unto salvation. Those whom He chose before the foundation of the world, at some point, they're going to hear the gospel, and God is going to make that real to them. He's going to issue the effectual call. They will, by the power that God gives them, repent of their sins and place their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and they are saved eternally. But election is not salvation. Election is unto salvation. Notice how Paul moves from the doctrines of grace, if you will, in talking about the choosing of God to salvation, and notice how God accomplishes that in verse 14. "Whereunto He called you how? By our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that comforting for the child of God tonight? We don't get puffed up because we say, "Oh, I'm one of the elect of God." We fall on our face and we say, "Wow, I'm elect of God. God loved me in spite of myself, in spite of who I am. God placed His affection upon me, chose me, and put me in a place where I could hear the preaching of the Word of God." The gospel is absolutely essential to salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 brings this point home. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, the Bible declares, "In whom ye also trusted." Well, when did you trust? "After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Beloved, tonight we preach no other gospel than Abraham's gospel, the gospel of the Scriptures, the gospel of salvation. It is absolutely essential to salvation, and it is effectual unto salvation. You say, "Man, what can we do to see the church built up?" You know, I tell you what, I've traveled to a number of churches within the past year, preached at different services, And I know our church, Tabernacle Baptist Church there in Illinois, it seems like the Lord's churches are getting so small. And we say, well, why don't we do this so we can get some number? You know what we ought to do? We ought to preach the gospel. The gospel is essential to salvation, but it is effectual unto salvation. Now, a few moments ago, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I'm going to ask you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. We read verses 3 and 4, but now I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul wrote in verses 1 and 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. We have all we need tonight. We have the gospel of Abraham, the gospel of the Scriptures, the gospel of salvation. But notice this third mark this evening. Again, it's revealed in Galatians chapter 3 in verse 8. This is the gospel for the sinner. Oh, beloved, notice how the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 3 and verse number 8. He says, verse number 8, he says, how that God would justify who? The heathen. The heathen. You know how sometimes you say to your kids, you're nothing more than a heathen, right? You don't, I know that. But the Kimberland family, Kimberland family has some heathen. We still got some heathen, right? We've got some heathen kids, okay? Well, I have news for you tonight. We're heathen. See, because this is referring to, well, maybe you're heathen, unless you're Jewish. Okay? Because this is referring to the Gentiles. And I think we all understand how the Jews looked upon the Gentiles. The Jews looked upon the Gentiles as dogs. They didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. And I'm happy to say tonight that Paul is reporting here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 8, that this gospel that is according to the Scriptures, this gospel that is the gospel of salvation, it is the gospel for the sinner. Now get this tonight. It is the gospel for the sinner because it is power for the sinner. You say tonight, well, I'm going to get saved one day. You don't control that. How foolish we are to think that one day we're going to rise up and cause ourselves to be born again. We are yet without strength. For when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. We're powerless. You need power. Just because we're powerless does not negate the command of the Lord for all sinners to repent and be saved. Well, how does that happen? How do we reconcile the two? The gospel. Because the gospel, according to Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16, is what? It is the power of God. Romans 1 verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Those are comforting words tonight for the struggling sinner. For the sinner that's here tonight. And you may have been a church member your whole adult life. You may have been a preacher's son or daughter or wife. You might be a preacher. And you've never been touched by the grace of God. I remember the story, and I may have told the story here. Elias Keach, who was preaching at the 8th oldest Baptist church in the United States, the church at Pennepec outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And of course, he was riding the coattails of his famous father, Benjamin Keach. And the church at Pennepec called Elias Keach to come and preach. And right in the middle of his message, he sat down. He was sick. And he's sitting on the front row, and the men come up and say, what's wrong? And he's trembling, and he says, I'm an unconverted man. And God saved him by His grace. Oh, for the struggling sinner, there's hope, there's power tonight. It isn't in how good we are. It isn't in a decision that we make. It isn't in being baptized. It isn't even in being a Baptist. The power is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Abraham's gospel. It is the gospel for the sinner. There's power for the sinner. And oh, how there is peace for the sinner. Read Ephesians chapter number 2 tonight in verses 11 through 20. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 11 through 20. And we read about how that the Gentiles were aliens and strangers from the commonwealth of Israel and the family of God. And how did they obtain peace? By the blood of the cross, through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is as well tonight, not only power and peace for the sinner, this is the gospel for the sinner, but by it, the sinner becomes a partaker of the promises of God. Notice Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 6. Ephesians chapter number 3 tonight and verse number 6. The Bible says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Now watch. And partakers of His promise in Christ. There it is. By the gospel. This is why the child of God that's been saved 20, 30, 40 years, we love to hear the preaching of the gospel. We love to hear of what Christ Jesus accomplished on our behalf. That though we be depraved in nature and sinners not only by birth but by practice and choice, Christ came to die for our sins. And we have peace through the blood of His cross. Don't you love the preaching of the gospel? Hey, this is Abraham's gospel. This is the gospel of the Scriptures. This is the gospel of salvation. This is the gospel that is for the sinner. But then notice as well, this is the gospel that is steadfast. Notice in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 8, this is the gospel, according to what Paul writes, that was preached before unto Abraham. Do you really grasp that tonight? Do you understand that the Old Testament is absolutely indispensable? It is the Word of God. And I'll tell you tonight, it's about time that we as God's people started taking a stand on our convictions and not just having preferences. A conviction is something that you'll die over. And we ought to be willing to die over the veracity of God's Word. We ought to be willing to say that this is the Word of God. This King James Version, the old authorized version, it is the Word of God. And I don't need something new. It's fine the way that it is. It is the old paths that Jeremiah wrote about. It is the Word of God. Man, my heart was thrilled. I was reading an article that Brother David Otis Fuller wrote back in 1980. If you're familiar with David Otis Fuller, he wrote Which Bible, Counterfeit or Genuine, True or False, and so forth. And David Otis Fuller was responding to some people that had challenged him on his views of the inerrancy and the infallibility of the King James Version. And it thrilled my heart that a man of God was willing to stand up and take a stand and say, this is the Word of God. It doesn't have error in it. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if you got a Bible that's got error in it, you got nothing. We have nothing, right? You don't need me to tell you what the Bible says. Read it for yourself. We're not Catholics. We don't need a priest to tell us. The Bible is for the common man or the common woman. Read it. Read about the Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel that Abraham had preached to him. Do you understand that? That Abraham had the gospel preached unto him. Now the gospel that is steadfast, it's firmly established, it's fixed, it's unmovable, it is unalterable. The gospel, get ready for this, preceded Abraham. Do you know that you can go back to the book of Genesis and find the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? That the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent? Do you know that Abraham had the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ preached unto him? I want to read something to you tonight. It blesses my soul. It's a quote by Brother John Gill. Now, it's a little lengthy, but bear with me. There's a reason that I want to read it. And you know, sometimes there are others that can say things so much more eloquently than we can. Right? So listen to what Brother John Gill writes. Brother Gill writes, "The gospel of the grace of God, of free justification by the righteousness of Christ, of peace and pardon by His blood, and of complete salvation by Him, called everlasting because the substance of it was settled from all eternity in the counsel and covenant of peace. It was ordained before the world was, and was hid in God from the beginning. And the revelation of it was of old. It was made to our first parents immediately after the fall, and was spoken of by all God's holy prophets which have been since the world began. It was preached before unto Abraham, and in the times of Isaiah, and by other prophets, and so is no new upstart doctrine." This is the gospel of Christ. Go back and read Isaiah chapter number 53, and what do you see preached by Isaiah 700 years before the birth of Christ? You see the gospel preached. The gospel that is steadfast preceded Abraham. The gospel that is steadfast was preached to ancient Israel. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 4. Notice here, and I do believe that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Notice what Paul writes here in Hebrews chapter number 4, specifically verse number 2. Now, if you understand the context of Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter number 4, you know that there are particular areas here that deal specifically with the Israelites coming out of the land of Egypt. And we find that the Apostle Paul had focused on them in chapter number 3. But notice here in chapter number 4 what Paul writes in verse number 2. "For unto us was the gospel preached," now watch, "as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." What is the Apostle Paul talking about? He's talking about the Israelites mentioned in chapter number 3. Those are the them mentioned in verse number 2. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Do you understand that the gospel, it preceded Abraham, but it was preached to ancient Israel? Do you recall what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, the Apostle Paul is clearly saying that the Old Testament saints were saved the same way that you and I are saved. I don't understand this idea that the Old Testament saints were saved some different way. They were not saved some different way. I don't know what you believe about dispensationalism, but there's been one way that God has saved since the beginning of time, and that's through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they looked forward to it. We look back to it, but it was all through Christ and Christ alone. Now, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, if you'd make your way over there, and I know we're turning to a number of passages tonight, but I think it's needful. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, notice what I'm referring to. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 1 through 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did," now watch, "and did all eat the same spiritual meat," verse 4, "and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, And that rock was who? Christ. It was Christ. Abraham had the gospel of Christ preached unto him. Go back to Genesis 18 and see where the Lord appeared unto Abraham in a pre-incarnate appearance. We find that the Lord actually appeared unto Abraham, I believe, in Genesis chapter number 18. And so we find that the Word of God clearly indicates that the gospel is steadfast. It was preached to ancient Israel. You say, I don't know about reading the prophets. What can I benefit from the prophets? Well, let me give you a challenge. Try to find the Lord Jesus Christ in every book of Scripture and on every page of Scripture. And if you're looking for Christ, you're going to find Him. If you're looking for Abraham's gospel in the Old Testament, you're going to find it. And so we find that the gospel that is steadfast was preached to ancient Israel. And we find that it is perpetually announced. We preach the gospel today. What will be preached here on earth during the tribulation period? How are folks going to be saved during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I do believe that there are going to be lost people during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. How are they going to be? Are they going to be saved some different way? No, they're going to be saved the same way. It's the preaching of the gospel. Listen to this in Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 6. Revelation 14 and verse number 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Beloved, this is the everlasting gospel that will be preached. That's Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 6. I think if we were to get into a little study of eschatology, we find that the 144,000 Jews are going to be preaching the gospel during that time, during the tribulation period. And so it's perpetually announced. There's a lot in verse number 8, isn't there? The gospel is according to the Scriptures. It's the gospel of salvation. It's the gospel for the sinner. It is the gospel that is steadfast. And lastly, it is the gospel of the Savior. Now, I've been referring to it tonight as Abraham's gospel, and I hope you understand why I'm referring to it that way. It is not the gospel that speaks of what Abraham did. It's the gospel that Abraham had preached unto him. But what was that gospel? Well, it was the gospel of none other than the Savior. Notice in verse number 8 it says, in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 8, it says, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. How is it that those out of every kindred, tongue, nation, and people would be saved? By the gospel. And we find that the seed that is referenced here is not the Jewish nation, although I don't believe God's done with the Jewish nation, and that's a whole another subject. Go read Romans chapter number 11. But he's not talking about the Jews. Notice a little bit further down in Galatians chapter number 3. Look at verse 13. In Galatians 3 verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, how? Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, here it is, which is Christ. This is the gospel of the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher that ever lived, in introducing the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 1, what does the Bible say? It says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, beloved, it is no gospel that is a Christless gospel. It is no gospel that says you must trust in Christ and be baptized. It is no gospel that adds anything to the perfect, finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of the Savior. What do you see when you read the Scriptures? Now, I get that the Bible is a Bible of instruction for us. I firmly believe that there are principles in the Word of God that cover every area and facet of our life. But it's a Bible about the Savior. It's a Bible about the Son of God. In fact, Jesus Himself said, "Go ahead, search the Scriptures." What are you going to find when you search the Scriptures? "Search the Scriptures," He said to the Jews. "For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." And so the Bible is a Bible about the Savior. It is entirely purposed to reveal the gospel of the Savior. He's the subject of the Scriptures, and He is the satisfaction of the saint. We're going to close with the passage of Scripture that, I don't know about you, but it just blows my mind. How God works. Notice John chapter number 8. And wow, what a powerful chapter of Scripture John chapter number 8 is. Much truth in John chapter number 8 that we can feast upon endlessly. But notice John chapter number 8, specifically verse number 56. Now Jesus is here involved with the controversy with the Jews. He's already told them, and you know, we would never think to say this today, but He said, "You're of your father the devil. You're not God's children. You're of your father the devil." And they're arguing with Christ. And notice here in John chapter number 8 and verse number 56, "Your father Abraham." They said, "Oh, we'd be of Abraham. You know, we've never been in bondage to any man." Liars. Liars, right? You're of your father the devil. He was a liar and a murderer. You're lying. And they're making much about their lineage, that they're of Abraham. "We be Abraham's seed." Now watch what Christ does with this. How He turns it around. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see My day. And he saw it and was glad." How was Abraham saved? The gospel of Christ. Abraham rejoiced to see that day and he saw it. Abraham had the gospel preached unto him. Oh, child of God, how we get cold and hard-hearted in a world that is laden with sin. And sometimes we leave our first love. And we forget the pit from whence we were dug. And we need to go back. And as Abraham saw Christ, and he rejoiced in it. It was the joy of his life. Oh, child of God, does it get any better than that? "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see My day, and he saw it and was glad." Now, what really matters tonight is whether or not you've heard the true gospel. I don't mean you've heard it here, but you've heard it here. I was a lost church member. You've heard my testimony before. I was a lost church member in what I believe to be a true, sound, New Testament, independent Baptist church. I was a lost church member for 5 years. And I heard the gospel here. But it wasn't until God drew me away from that church, I believe it with all my heart, He put me in, of all places, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A Cleveland guy, right in Pittsburgh, Brother Philip, Cleveland guy, right in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. smack dab in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I'm going through my Bible one night, and I find a tract that Brother Forrest Keener wrote. And God used that tract to save me, to point me to Christ. I had it up here. I knew doctrine. But there wasn't anything here. Have you heard Abraham's gospel? Have you obeyed that form of truth from the heart? Are you saved tonight? If you're saved tonight, it's only through the gospel of Jesus Christ, Abraham's gospel. There are five marks. It is the gospel of the Scriptures. It is the gospel of salvation. It is the gospel for the sinner. It is the gospel that is steadfast. It is the gospel of the Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be in Your house tonight. Lord, I thank You for the precious Word of God that reveals to us Jesus Christ. Oh, help us tonight, Lord, to be drawn away from all of the attractions of our flesh and of this world, that we might come back to that place where we first saw a loving, kind, compassionate Savior. That we might be so enamored with the gospel of Christ that we'd forget about all else. Lord, thank You for saving sinners. Thank You for putting us in a place where we heard the gospel, not with physical ears, but in heart. Lord, I pray for sinners that are here tonight that are yet unsaved. God, prick their heart. Save them by Your grace. Point them to Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Brother Wayne.